Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
In beautiful Lincoln, Nebraska, in the middle of nowhere, we bring you today's show. Every time I come here, it's actually nice. It's in the mid-50s today with sunny skies again. I have to give him credit. Every time we come out here, it actually is pretty nice out. Usually you think, oh, you're going to Nebraska in the middle of February. What are the odds? Not bad. Not bad. Great to have you with us today. We're going to have a lot of fun on today's show, including Penn State middle linebacker Brandon Smith. Winfield Zone will be in the next half hour. 4:06 half hour today, basketball coach Nathan Davis beat Colgate last night. And Chris Basnett from the Lincoln Star Journal on Nebraska basketball in the final half hour. So we have a lot going on and some pace to today's show as well. UConn women's basketball team won its 100th straight last night. As we all know, Penn State in women's volleyball won 109 in a row. Something I haven't heard Gino Auriemma discuss or really be asked about. I'm not surprised he hasn't been asked about it. I'll leave it at that. But how does he convince each team that they're an entity unto their own and that they're an entity that is about to start their own journey each season instead of a carryover? Well, we've won 37 in a row. Now we've got to win another 35 in a row, 36 to win the national championship. You know, I think people think that there's always that carryover from one season to the next. And that's not true. In fact, it's not even remotely true. It's one of the silliest assumptions in sports. Teams change personalities, especially, you know, it's in every sport now. Even a pro team like, let's say, the Cleveland Cavaliers. They've had a couple of deletions, a couple of additions. They're a different team in that locker room now and on the court than they were a year ago. We know Golden State's different. They added Kevin Durant. Now, what are the pluses and maybe even the minuses to Kevin Durant now being a part of that team? Well, college is the same way. And the ability of a Russ Rose winning 109 in a row, the ability of Gino Auriemma winning 100 in a row, to a point, you can put Cale Sanderson into this conversation, even though he doesn't have the long dual meet winning streak. If they beat Oklahoma State, it'll actually only be the second time they've had an undefeated season. Now that's only for one of the dominant programs in all of America, but it just shows you how hard it is to win them all. But how do you convince each team that they're an entity unto themselves? I remember Russ Rose and I talked about this a few times. Mostly on the golf course, to be frank with you. And it's one of the harder things for any coach to do, because there is an assumption that is made that one just rolls into the next. And I can understand the assumption, but it's just dead wrong. That if you're assuming that one rolls into the next, you're going to get sloppy. So how do you convince your players that you are starting over, that it's a brand new team, and that you've got to attack each game with singular purpose, and just walking out there with the name across the front that says UConn, Penn State, whatever it happens to be, that's not good enough. Oh, well, you know, we won the national championship last year. All we have to do is show up. And we're just that good. Look how good we were last year. And that's not how it works. The personalities of teams change. Additions, freshmen. Deletions, seniors, or maybe a transfer. And it changes automatically the dynamic of the personality in the locker room. It changes automatically the personality of the team in a practice court and in a game. So you really are a new entity unto yourself, even though you have carryover of great players. So how do you, as a Russ Rose, look at a Megan Hodge and tell her, look, you've got to be a little bit better here, you've got to be a little bit better here, and you've got to put in the work in the offseason to do it? How do you tell an Alicia Glass, like your quarterback, your setter, you have to be a little bit better here, maybe a little bit better there, and you've got to work in the offseason to make yourself better in those areas because we're going to need you better next season? When they're already All-Americans, when they're already at the top of their game, I mean, Alicia Glass, of course, was the setter on the U.S. Olympic team this past summer in Rio. Well, Glass and Hodge were the two linchpins of that run to 109 consecutive wins that Penn State women's volleyball had. You're going to get everybody's best shot. You know that. When you walk in there, that is the game or the match. When Penn State would come out here to face Nebraska, it would be the single biggest event in women's volleyball in this state. Penn State's here. Every time Kale Sanderson brings wrestling someplace, they're the show. They bring in more people than ever. They're the ones with the target. And the same thing with UConn women's basketball. So how do you go about it as a coach and the psychology of it, of convincing your players the importance of each one, and that what you did last year does not give you the cachet to do something this year? How do you do that? This is what leadership is about. They have these nationally renowned talks entitled TED Talks, where they bring in highly successful people like the suit to address groups as to how they achieved their station in life. And a lot of this is, and they have satellite TED Talks as well. Penn State has had some satellite TED Talks. There are some going on right now. I think it's Schwab Auditorium. You know, some of the speakers they bring in, you're like, no, don't want to hear, no interest. Others, you want to hear what they have to say. So how do you handle that as a leader, as the CEO? How do you handle and manage people? How do you motivate yourself? How do you get yourself to a position where you take yourself and make yourself better and put in the work when nobody's around? And that's what they've been able to do. But those are the things that I want to find out when I talk to a coach. I really don't care about, gee, what was the closest pitfall to possibly losing? Whoop-dee-doo, I can look at the score sheet and see that, okay? But I want to know that when you were pressed, what was the message to your team? Why did they react the way they did? You have to press all sorts of buttons as time goes. When you have a bad practice, who changes the tone of the practice, a leader or you? And what does it mean to you as the leader if the player changes the tone of the practice? There's so many elements that go into it. And as I said, what Russ Rose did was brilliant here at Penn State, winning 109 in a row and convincing each team that they were not a carryover from the year before, that they were an entity unto themselves and were starting from scratch and needed to fight and claw their way through that season, that nothing would be handed to them. And he was able to do that over and over and over again. Kale Sanderson does that. Now, you have to recruit, obviously, people that have that desire the ability to hear that message, to accept that message, and to work to that message. You have to be able to recruit people like that. I mean, that's a big part of it. But the message has to come from the coach and the ability that they understand what that is. James Franklin, for example, was able to recruit and change the dynamics of his locker room and do so in three. Now he has a fourth recruiting class coming in now. But in three recruiting cycles, he was able to change the culture in the locker room where now he doesn't worry about the locker room anymore. First year he was here, he had some concerns. Okay? Now he doesn't have that concern. He can lock in on coaching, on motivating, and he knows he's got a group that's going to listen to his message. And this year, of course, Penn State, young football team, transitioning to being an older football team. All right, now the challenge is making sure you put in the work, because in every single game, you're going to be the team with the target on you. And there's going to be a change in the dynamic of this football team this year. Hey, Brandon Bell was a great leader, for example. No Garrett Sickles, no Evan Schwann, no Malik Golden, no Chris Godwin. So it changes the dynamics. It changes the dynamics in the room. For example, Brandon Smith goes into a room now. There's not going to be a Brandon Bell there. Well, Brandon Bell, in his own way, was a very strong leader that others could look at and ask questions of because his instincts were so impeccable. Well, you don't have that sounding board resource. Now you're the sounding board resource for the younger linebackers. We'll talk to Brandon about that when he comes up here in a few moments. We'll also have Nathan Davis today talking Bucknell basketball, and Chris Basnett from the Lincoln Star Journal on tonight's Penn State-Nebraska basketball game. All that and more from Lincoln in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Was there something about when I was talking about the TED Talks, and I mentioned the suit giving one, that you had no reaction to that at all?
No, I was laughing on this end.
Yeah.
I had to double check, though. I could have sworn I didn't see motivational speaker in the in the resume.
Oh, no, he motivates me. Absolutely. Not in the way he thinks, but...
Actually, he stopped in the studio. We had a chat this morning, and he's not even a graduate of high school yet, and he's also, at this point, starting to look at joining a fraternity when he gets into college, and it's actually the same fraternity I was at during my Lock Haven U days.
You're talking about Suit Light.
Suit Light, yeah. Yeah.
In a fraternity.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even graduate high school yet. I'll be honest with you. I didn't think of fraternities when I was in 12th grade.
Well, I know what I'm going to get him for his graduation gift.
Okay.
Animal House. All right, so.
0.0.
Zero.
Mr. Blutarski.
You've been on double secret probation.
The scene when Stephen Bishop comes down the steps strumming the guitar. Yeah. Well, he's strumming the guitar, impressing the chicks, and there's Blutarski walking down the steps at the toga party, and he just destroys the guitar. Yeah. Takes one look at him and says, "Sorry."
Sorry. If I recall correctly, John Belushi was on Saturday Night Live at the time. They would bring him in for like 2 days at a time to film. And then he'd go back to New York, do Saturday Night Live, and come back in 2 more days to film and so forth. So he could get the movie done. I believe the University of Oregon is where they filmed that movie. They went to so many universities asking, can we do the movie here? And one after another, they said no. Now, what made Oregon say yes? I don't know. No clue. But that is where it takes place at Oregon. And for guys like us, I think the movie's a classic. I think it would be a learning experience for the suit. It would be a tremendous learning experience for Suit Light's mom. I'm telling you, he's going to shake that college up. Got you a gift for your high school graduation present. Animal House DVD. I've got to work on my golf game. you're just not keeping your arms straight. You've got to go through and you've got to follow through on the ball. And the ball goes and hits the horse in the backside of it and the horse takes off.
Niedermeyer.
Niedermeyer, Kevin Bacon, and Kevin Bacon on the sidewalk telling everyone to stay calm, getting run down by everybody in the stampede.
Remain calm, all is well.
All is well. That would be Suit Light, right? Remain calm, all is well. He'd be done. Oh well. He wants to join a fraternity. As long as it's not you tap a keg. I think that would be a bad one, just on the surface. What do you think?
I completely agree.
Yeah. Just trying to give some helpful hints. Because, obviously, the suit, so consumed with his own personal career, has lost total control over suit life.
Yes, he claims there's only 3 fraternities on campus at Albright. So, hey, if there's only 3, you might as well go with that one. So you don't have to ask. I said to him, it's like, you don't have to ask me. If he's going to choose one, I choose the one I was in.
Really?
Yeah, have a brother for life. Me and Suit Light. Be awesome. I turned out pretty good. Ended up here. You there?
Penn State linebacker Brandon Smith in the next half hour to talk Penn State football and all the fraternities he's avoided to become successful. Nathan Davis, 4:06 half hour. Chris Basnett, Lincoln Star Journal, final half hour. I'll be back with Bluto in a moment.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Duckily. Hey, you know, when I gave Lawrence the thesaurus at the holiday party, I did it as a gag gift. I didn't think he'd actually use it. Time now for this day in sports history. 1966, Rick Mount of Lebanon, Indiana, became the first high school male athlete to be pictured on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Rick Mount ended up being a great college basketball player. 3,000-point scorer at Purdue. Who knows how many points he would have scored had they had the three-point line. But when he went to the ABA, he did not have quite the pro career everybody thought he would. 1966, CBS bought the rights to the NFL's 1966 and 67 championship games for $2 million a game. Now a commercial for a Super Bowl for 30 seconds is $5 million. 1988, Bobby Allison became the oldest driver to win the Daytona 500. 1989, Mike Tyson and Robin Givens were divorced. What could have caused that? 1990, Mario Lemieux ended his 46-game scoring streak, second longest in NHL history. And in 2002, Greco-Roman wrestler Rulon Gardner was stranded for 17 hours outside in temperatures that reached 25 below zero. When he was found, his body temperature was just 88 degrees. Feet were frozen. Turned out that he had to have the middle toes and his right foot amputated due to frostbite. But somehow he gutted it out. Amazing. very pleased to bring in one of our favorite people, one of the truly hard workers on this football team, who's a real example for anybody who wants to achieve anything, and that is linebacker Brandon Smith from Winfield. Brandon, it is great to hear you on the other end, my friend.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me today.
All right, this is the time of the year that the fans don't get a chance to see, Brandon. This is the time of the year where you've got to put in a lot of work. What does it take to get you through February and right before spring break to make sure you're then ready for spring practice and then everything that comes in the coming year?
We just try and take a one-day-at-a-time approach, and, you know, it gets really long, obviously, in the winter when you're not playing football and you're waking up for 5:30 runs and afternoon lifting. But, you know, Beaver Stadium, you know, is the best place in the country to play football, and we just want to get prepared and, you know, do our best throughout the season, so we know that we got to put the work in today to be successful again this coming season. So that's kind of the approach we're taking.
Games are made in the off season, Brandon. Specifically, what are a couple of things where you want to be better to then step up and improve your personal game for the upcoming season to make a difference?
I think one of my biggest areas to improve would be quickness. Once I get going, I can move pretty good, but I definitely need to be a little more sudden and quick. You know, working on the power clean, squat, change of direction, kind of stuff like that to get a little more explosive in my game of play.
What, when you got in there and played, Brandon, how long did it take you to get used to the speed of the game on this level? And did you even surprise yourself a bit that there seemed to be some ease with which you did it?
It took me about two series in the Temple game. Going back and watching film, I could just see that I was playing slower and probably thinking too much and a little too worried. But, I mean, I have been practicing for 3 years before that with some of the best players in the country every day, so that's been great preparation. And obviously a game's different because it's a different look every week and different players, different styles, but took about a couple of series to get used to it. And once you just start trusting in your training, trusting in how you've been coached and your preparation, just play and have fun, then things start going a lot better for me.
Yeah, Jack Camp commented several times about your instinct playing the position. Coming up through the ranks, who was the one that really taught you how to play a linebacker and allowed those instincts to come out?
Well, if he's listening, he's from Chickalemme right now. Fred Coleman, I don't want this to go to his head, but all the way back to 7th or 8th grade football, that's where I first started learning how to anticipate and pick up on line movements and figure out where the ball is going before it gets there. And obviously a lot of people have played a big role in coaching and mentoring me and helping me become a better player. And Coach Pride's done a great job. Every day we start the first 10 minutes of individuals with stance and start and reading drills, because ultimately that's what's going to make the biggest difference in a play is if you can make that first half a second count. So a lot of people have played a big role, but I know Fred Coleman's local there, and he'll probably his head will probably get a little big right now, but that's all right.
That's okay. Good for Fred. Brandon, at one point early in your career, you were shifted over to play fullback. Now, obviously, you're trying to contribute any way you can to help out the team and maybe find some time somewhere. In the end, did that fullback experience help you at all in terms of maybe being a better linebacker, seeing what they see on the offensive side?
I definitely think it did. Like you said, I just wanted to help the team, and that's what Coach O'Brien thought was best for the team and for myself at the time. And I learned a lot about the offense and blocking schemes, and learned a lot about the goal of a blocker and what they're thinking, what's going through their mind on any given play. And I think it has made a big difference moving back over to defense, being able to anticipate a little better or read what they're doing and understand what they're trying to get accomplished.
You're also one of the married players on the team. What kind of difference has that made in your personal life and how you now approach everything as a football player?
It's been awesome. I'll be married 2 years now in the summer to my wonderful wife, Andrea, and she's been an awesome encouragement to me and huge fan, and she comes to every game. She drove out to Indiana 3 times for the Indiana game, Purdue, and the Big Ten Championship. So she logged a lot of hours on the road, and I couldn't do it without her, that's for sure. She does a great job of making me get my work done and pushing me hard to work hard in school and do everything I can to improve my football situation. And I owe a lot to her and the work she's done behind the scenes.
When you decided to walk on to Penn State, obviously that was a big decision at a big moment in the time of the program. You could have gone other places. Why did you elect to walk on to Penn State when maybe you could have picked up some money someplace else to play?
Yeah, it's always been a dream of mine to come to Penn State ever since I was, probably 4 or 5 and understood what football was. I told everyone I was going to go to Penn State, and reality came in high school, and realized that I wasn't getting quite the big time attention as maybe I was hoping for, and had some offers from some smaller schools, some Ivy League schools and Patriot League schools, and the decision was tough, but in the end, spent a lot of time just praying about it and going to the Lord and trying to find some guidance. And I mean, just some things kind of led me to think that Penn State was the right place. And 4 years later, I mean, that's been confirmed to me. And I've really, really enjoyed my time here, and really am thankful for it.
Well, no question everybody's been thankful having you around. I mean, there's no question about that. What have you picked up, for example, from a guy like Jason Kabinda? What did you pick up maybe from a guy like Brandon Bell who won't be there this year? What are a couple things that maybe your peers can teach you that you're now trying to teach others, Brandon?
I think the biggest thing that sticks out with Jason Kabinda is he's a competitor. He just hates to lose, and he's going to do anything he can to win, and that's why he works so hard and plays the way he does on Saturday, and that's something I'm trying to grow into, is just that competitiveness. I mean, this morning we were running, and he lost like 2 or 3 reps the whole day, and every time he'd get so mad at whoever beat him. So that's just kind of his character. And then Brandon Bell has just been awesome to see for 4 years, and The biggest thing with him is he's just a playmaker. He might not be the fastest or strongest guy, but I definitely think he made more big plays than anyone else on their defense. And he just gets to the ball, and good things happen when you get to the football. So, I don't really know how to tangibly put my finger on B-Bell, yeah. but he's doing something right.
His instincts are impeccable, and that's what with Jack and I talk about you, your instincts. Kinesiology, I believe, is where you wanted to go, and that you wanted to be a pediatric oncologist. What steered you in that direction, Brandon?
Yeah, I just graduated in kinesiology this December, and I have a little friend, Leah Fake. She'll be up this weekend for Thon, and we met her on a football trip, and my wife really is what grew the relationship, because she volunteered at Hershey in the pediatric ward when Leah was at the hospital there for leukemia treatment. And, just seeing her and her bravery and overcoming such a terrible illness and disease, it just really inspired me. And I don't know, it's just something that I see a lot of value in people and in the human condition, I guess, that I just want to be a part of getting people healthy and seeing people restored. And so plan is to go to medical school. I'm studying for the MCATs right now, and hopefully get a good score and hopefully find a home for the next 4 years.
You will. Everybody has all the confidence in you. Brandon, one of our best. Thanks so much. Appreciate it very, very much for the time. I look forward to seeing you probably Thursday morning.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Steve. Have a good one.
You too, man. Brandon Smith. They don't get any better than that. Great family, isn't it? Great family. We'll come back. Nathan Davis next half hour. And then Chris Basnett from the Lincoln Star Journal. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Presidents Washington and Lincoln could have never imagined that their day would mean one thing. Huge deals at Sunbury Motors Ford. Sunbury Motors Ford is having their annual President's Day sales event. Choose from four city blocks of new Fords. SMC has 85 new Ford F-150s to choose from.
It's America's best-selling truck for 40 straight years for a reason.
See for yourself why Sunbury Motors has sold over 40,000 trucks. 2016 F-150s are slashed over $12,500. And 2017s start at just $24,953. Pick from over 30 of the top-selling 2017 Ford Escapes, starting at $18,880.
This is the lowest price since President Bush was in the White House.
SMC also has 14 2017 Ford Focuses, starting as low as $13,975. Plus 0% financing for up to 72 months is available on many models. Don't miss the President's Day sales event at Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. Proudly serving all of Central Pennsylvania since 1915.
When Woodrow Wilson was in the White House.
Welcome, great to have you with us. Our thanks to Brandon Smith, Winfield Zone, Penn State middle linebacker, joining us on the show today. Next half hour, Nathan Davis, head basketball coach at Bucknell. And then Chris Basnett from the Lincoln Journal Star will join us from just down the street here to talk about tonight's matchup between Penn State and Nebraska in basketball. Penn State looking for its third straight win. They will have a bye weekend coming up. Regardless of result tonight, the timing of the bye week could not be better for Penn State. Even if Penn State goes out and, say, wins the game by 5, 8, 9 points tonight, there I'm sure will be some people saying, oh, just keep going. It's a young team. They need some recharge time. And the timing of this cannot be better. To have the timing be 3 weeks or 2.5 weeks before the Big Ten tournament, it's about the time you're looking at. I think that makes a big difference for a young team. There's also that thought of, well, this has been a house of horrors. Penn State's never played well here before. And they may not play well here tonight. I don't know. We'll find out. But why I'm never a big believer in that is that I think it's only a believer. I'm only a believer in that just for the time that you've played there. Tony Carr, Lamar Stevens, Mike Watkins, Nazir Bosic, Terrence Samuel, they've never played a game in this building. This building brings with it no memories whatsoever, pro or con. None. Zero. So that's why I'm never a big believer in, they've never played really well there. Well, these guys have never played there. So what difference does that make? Does it make any difference at all? Bucknell is what, tomorrow night, right? They're going to play at Loyola tomorrow.
Yep, they go down to Baltimore tomorrow night, and then their road trip to Boston U on Sunday.
BU.
Then they have, BU on Sunday, and then they got two at home next week to wrap up. Wednesday, go back to the Wednesday-Saturday format to finish the regular season. Lafayette, week from tomorrow on the 22nd, and then a noon tip a week from Saturday the 25th against Navy. So, but 1 point last night, Bucknell up as high as 22. Did really well last night. Keeping it rolling.
Yeah, beat Colgate last night. Yep.
Other than those two little Lehigh blemishes in the Patriot League, but that's an issue.
I mean, and the issue is this: there's only one bid out of the league. I mean, there's got to be something where the matchup isn't quite right with Lehigh. That's the concern. But take care of first things first. Got Loyola, Andre Walker, and Jared Jones, and Cam Gregory, and James Fives. I mean, some of the guys to look for in the Loyola side. At Reitz Arena, and yes, I have done a game in Reitz Arena. It is on the list of 140. Pete Lisicki had a big game there one night at Reitz Arena. Did the game. We were courtside. You'd be surprised, I think, some of the places I've done games from. So
your number's at 140. What was the last number that Girardi had?
Oh, 162. I have no shot here. None. I'll probably pick up a game next year in the Barclays Center. I don't know what the rest of the non-conference schedule's like. We'll have to see. I do know, by the way, I did find out how they schedule the Big Ten. I said, there's no rhyme or reason to it. They are doing it now in three-year increments. You play five teams home and away in year one. You then play five other teams home and away in year two. Then the three you haven't played yet are in year three, with obviously two rollovers from the first year. So that's how they do it, the new three-year. That's how they actually do it. My next question is going to be, how do you do in the football thing? So that's how they're doing it. Five home and away, then you roll to the next five home and away, then the three that you haven't played yet home and away with two rollovers from the first year. And for Penn State, Minnesota, and Rutgers were the two rollovers. And the new three-year starts next year.
Okay. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.